You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
To remember Massimo Mattioli, one of the greatest Italian cartoonists who died 2 years ago. We wanted to commemorate him last year, but we had to postpone, so we do it today. And on next oggi venerdì, on next Sunday will be in Italian too. Okay, Massimo Mattioli was born in Rome in 1943. This is one of the rare pictures of him. And just 22 years after, when I was just born in 1956, he began working professionally as a cartoonist. He worked for Italian magazines like Il Vittorioso, and then moved for a while to England and France, always doing funny comics. Next image, please. This is Emblem Magician, one of the comics that he did while in France. His signature style of drawing is not yet very recognizable, but still is a funny comic. And next image. Okay, this is Lo Zoo Pazzo, the Crazy Zoo, is a very funny comic that I remember from when I was a child. It was done with another artist doing the text, Mario Gomboli, and it was like an interview to wild animals. You had a question in the balloon and then the animal answering. So you can see, for example, here in, down to the left, the stork, and they ask, this is a Christmas issue of the comic. So what did the stork ask to Santa Claus? To find another way in. Or the little serpent. Why the little snake don't love Santa Claus? Because last year he gave me a bicycle. Next image. And here in the last image, we can see a rare self-portrait of the author. Yeah. How can Gomboli and Mattioli know so many things about animals? And the answer is meow, chip, chip. Down there. Okay. And a little later, in 1973, Mattioli begins one of his most beloved comics. Next image. And it's Pinky. Pinky was done for a Catholic magazine called Il Giornalino, the little newspaper that was sold in churches. And this is we can see is surely the most long-lived of his comics. He went on drawing it for more than 40 years. He did more than 4,000 stories and more than 5,000 pages. Is a comic about a pink rabbit called Pinky, who is a photo reporter, a journalist, and working in a newspaper. You can see the elephant there. The director of the editor of the newspaper is called Perry Pachyderm, and is clearly designed with in mind Perry White, the editor of Daily Planet, the newspaper where Clark Kent works when he's not Superman. And a lot of Superman references are in the comic, even though Pinky has no superpowers, he's just a journalist. Next image. So this is Pinky. We can see this is the mature style of the comic. And we can see it's very, very simple, very understandable, even by children, but still it's a very sophisticated graphic. You can see, for example, in the last panel, we have quite interesting graphic effects. It's a very colorful comic that can be read by children, that has no violence or gore or anything. But it's not trivial at all. It's a very good comic, and Mattioli itself kept it drawing and loved this comic book a lot. And at times he thought it was his best work. And this is a very interesting side of Massimo Mattioli, that he could draw very different comic books in. Very different context, with always the same drive. Yeah. By the way, before I go on, in the next image there will be a lot of sex, pornography, violence, and gore. Okay, so don't think that everything is this way. Okay, next image. So, of course. Pinky is not a science fiction comic, but there is a lot of science fiction in Pinky. A lot of stories are of science fiction. And particularly interesting is the UFO series. There are stories with a single page, and they are always science fiction stories with always a metaphysical atmosphere. And it's very interesting that in a children's comic, he tries to say things about the universe, metaphysical, and so on, in a very, very humorous and funny way. For example, in this comic, Pink is talking with Giorgione, his colleague and friend and rival, and Giorgione asks, I want to do a philosophical question. Yeah, shoot. And do you think there are two equal forces governing the universe? And Pinky answer, yeah, it's true. And the other side, nah, it's balderdash. Next image. And this one, Giorgione says, sometimes I think that the sky is just a drawing and the stars just silver paper. And Pinky answer, oh, don't be silly. But we, but we see, of course, that our aliens are putting up the sky. Next page. And this is, do you know what always fascinated me in science fiction novels? Parallel universe. And what are universe parallel universe? Now I'm trying to explain you. And now then the story is repeated in a different color with the same characters. So very subtle stories for a magazine made for children.
The giornalino was really pointing toward education, more than other newspaper magazines for children of the same era.
Yep.
I loved it.
Next image. Okay, and now, but just a few years ago, Mattioli begins to enter in the underground comic milieu, and he found, I think, in 1973, Cannibale. Cannibale is an underground magazine of comics and author, and is the magazine where grew up a lot of Italian talents of comic book. In Cannibale was doing comics Andrea Pazienza. That is probably the most famous and beloved comic book author in Italy. And Tanino Liberatore, who did a very famous science fiction comic, Rank Xerox, with Tamburini, and both were born in Cannibale. Cannibale, this cannibal, Mattioli did often the cover, like this one or the next one. Okay, so you can see here, this cover is a very Mattioli-like mix, because we have a very violent scene. We have a giant alien prostitute that is in chain and is sold to another alien, and but he can melt together the very violent scene with some kind of wonder. So this scene, even if sad and violent, has still a very wonderful aura in it. And I think this is very typical of his style. He could mix very different ingredients in his drawings and still have sense with this very heavy contrast. And on the pages of Cannibale is born one of his most science fiction characters, that is Joe Galaxy. Next image. Okay, Joe Galaxy. Joe Galaxy is a science fiction character. It's some kind of an eagle. It's not clear, very clear what kind of bird is it. He's an anthropomorphic character like Disney ones, but he lives his stories in a very science fiction and very violent and gory context. He's a kind of an adventurer, just like Han Solo. He can be likened to Han Solo, but his stories, of course, are not for everyone. It's are very, very adult stories. And in the first time, Joe Galaxy is a very experimental comic book, experimenting with a lot of techniques, both of drawing, of way to tell a story. We can see here now, next image, the first table of Joe Galaxy. Okay, this is the very first tables of Joe Galaxy. We can see is an adventurous character fighting in an arena just to gain some credits, and this is his first apparition. In this very first story, it's a long story published in a lot of of episodes. Joe Galaxy is living a very bizarre and strange space adventure, and we can see the author is constantly changing his style of drawing to adapt to the story and to experiment. Next image. Okay, so you see, this pornography was one element used in the tables. You see, here is discussing a mission with his alien contact, and in the meantime, he having sex with her. Next image. So you see, in this table, we have the adventure going on, but in the same time, we have some elements completely from another context inside the story. Yes? Yes? Come? Yes, this is a quotation from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, for example, just inside the comic. So he was experimenting with changing the subject in the middle of the story. In some other tables, the characters are substituted with other characters of other comics, for example, with Tom and Jerry. And he was using a completely free technique to tell a story. Next image. So, with time, Joe Galaxy became a less experimental comic, but still went on with his adventures. And they're still very modern. They were done more than 40 years ago, but can be read with wonder today. And they are very like some very modern animations, just like we saw yesterday. We saw Rick and Morty. I think it's very like Rick and Morty in its mixing of science fiction, black humor, gore, and with the background of cynicism that the main character has. Joe Galaxy is very like Rick in that he can do a lot of things. He can always wins, and is very cynical about it. Has no principle to go with. Next image. This is still Joe Galaxy. You can see that with time it becomes a more accessible comic, but still very crazy, and has a lot of reference to the Galactic Guide of Hitchhikers. For example, Joe Galaxy's computer in his starship is called Eddie, just like the Heart of Gold computer. And there are a lot of Galactic Guide references in this comic. For example, here Joe Galaxy went to the beach following a guide and having a lot of bad experiences, so just like someone who follows the Hitchhiker's Guide without knowing that there are errors. Next image. So, and just a few years after, in the beginning of the 80s, Mattioli did another of his very famous creations, Squeak the Mouse. Squeak the Mouse is a very gory comic book about the struggle between a mouse and a cat. It's the most classic of the themes, but his take on it is very original and interesting. Next image. Squeak the Mouse begins as a single story in black and white, and is a slapstick story between the fight between a cat and a mouse, just like Tom and Jerry was. You can see it begins in a very, very classical way. The cat tries to take the mouse, and the mouse flees and mocks him. Next image. And it goes on with, for some pages, this way. It's just a slapstick, the most classic slapstick, done very well, but classic. What is absolutely not classic is the ending. So in the ending, next image, the cat takes the mouse and kills him in a very, very splattery way. And this is... This was just a one-time comic, So a way to express the frustration of the public, seeing, for example, Speedy Gonzales or Beep Beep, the Roadrunner, and this character of Tweety the Canary always escaping their doom. And yes, but this comic book has so big a success that they asked him to go on, and so he went on in a very interesting way. So he tried with the cat to spoof a lot of B-movies, horror B-movies mostly, spoofing, and in these B-movies we have the return of the mouse trying to kill the cat. Let's see it. Okay, this is, of course, the classic horror movie when there are a lot of young people, in this case young cats, doing a party and the monster killing them one by one. And in the end, next image, we see that the corpse of the mouse is coming back to have his revenge with the cat. And this went on and on, with a lot of stories. Next image. This is, we have a pornographic movie here. Of course, the pornographic movie ends in a gory way. Next image. Because we still have the spirit of the mouse that, even if destroyed in the former story, is coming back to have his revenge. Next image. And this went on and on. There was a second volume of the comic where the situation were reversed, so the mouse was escaping while a zombie cat, a skeleton cat, and so on is chasing him. And then I think there is a third volume that I haven't read, but it was published only after his death, where we have the cat and the mouse abducted from aliens and still going on with their chase. Okay, next image. Ecco, these are Itchy and Scratchy from The Simpsons. And it has been said a lot of times that Matt Groening took a lot of inspiration from from Squeak the Mouse, creating Itchy and Scratchy. Next image. That are, in fact, a mouse and a cat. The cat chasing themselves and killing themselves in very gory ways. There is a very striking resemblance to the two comics. It's interesting to say that Mattioli declared in many occasions that he couldn't care less if he was copied, and he wasn't doing anything legal to try to get money from this. He said, I don't want to be chained to this kind of stuff. I don't care. People can say who is the original one and who is not, and I don't care about legal rights and this kind. From this point of view, it was a very had a very very interesting position. While so this kind of legal questions are very common in the comic world. I have to add that Squeak the Mouse was sequestered in the USA for obscenity. A lot of more than 1,000 copies of the comic book was stopped on the frontier, and there was a legal proceed against the comic. Mattioli was defended by the wife of Art Spiegelman, the famous comic author, and won the trial, and the comic book could be imported in the USA. This is a trial that set a precedent about what can be considered obscene and what not. Next image. So this is still Itchy and Scratchy. And okay, next image. Next comic that Mattioli did is Super Tex. He's a superhero, some kind of cross between Superman and Super Goofy. He's another anthropomorphic animal, and he becomes super, gets his superpowers just like Super Goofy, try eating a pill. Next image. And this is a spoof of superhero comics. This is, as of course, always very interesting in drawing, in the choosing of colors and in the cut of the tables. Here we can see some normal tables, but he did some very interesting things, just like a table that is shaped like a book that can be cut and fold, for example, and so on. Next image. Okay. You see, it's a typical superhero that is called and comes. And this wanted to become a TV series, an animation series. He worked a lot in doing an animation. Sadly, it never came to completion, but I think it could be very interesting to see Mattioli's comics in animation on TV. And I conclude with one very funny gag. In the next comic, Super West is battling with the Shadow, a super villain made of shadow, and then he has is losing his battle, and then he has a very good idea to win the battle. Next image. You see, Super Tex is battling the Shadow, is losing, but then he has a very good idea. Next image. And so, with the light bulb of the idea itself, Supertex wins against the Shadow. So, I think I'm more or less over. It's 10. Next image. Okay, he did a lot of other works I have not time to show. He did work with the fashion. And, for example, this is a comic book, I think, made for Vanity Fair. So he drew for a lot of advertisement for dress, for example, for fashion. Did scripts for TV and for movies. He did a lot of stuff. He went on doing Pinky until 2016. There was 5 years in which he was completely out of the scene. But he told, I'm not retired. I'm drawing a lot of stuff. I just don't want to publish it now. I have my reasons. And at the beginning of the, I think at the end of 2019, his books were coming out again. He had a new edition of Squeak the Mouse, of Pinky, of Super West, but sadly he died at the end of 2019. He was just 75. Next image. And so he was a very special character, and we remember him with fondness. Thank you.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache della galassia, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafidi, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.it, su Facebook alla pagina Fantascientificast, su Twitter sul profilo @fantascicast, sul nostro canale Telegram t.me/fantascientificast, sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificas.it. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito, su Apple iTunes, su Spotify e su Podbean all'indirizzo podcast.fantascientificas.it. Se volete, potete lasciarci una valutazione a 5 stelle su Apple iTunes ed offrirci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, sostenendoci tramite una donazione PayPal utilizzando l'apposito pulsante sul nostro sito. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. L'autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Alexa 4 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento alla prossima puntata lungo la rotta di Kessel.
Settimo simbolo inserito nel computer. Blocco 1 pronto. Blocco 1 posizionato.
Potenza erogata 23%. Così.
Blocco 2 è pronto.
Attivato.
Blocco 2 posizionato.
Siamo al 35%.
Arme rosse, evacuare l'area intorno allo Stargate.
Liberate l'area, torniamo da voi, chiudo le porta.
Andiamo, sbrigate.
C'era quello sotto la grande pietra?
Sì. Mio padre lo trovò nel 1928. È fatto di un minerale che non si trova sulla Terra.
Blocco 5 posizionato.
85%.
Blocco 6 pronto. Blocco 6 posizionato.
Non eravamo mai riusciti ad andare oltre nella sequenza.
Blocco 7 è pronto.
Pronto, attivato.
Blocco 7 posizionato.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money.